We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 279. That is a wrap on the Yankee season. Weird, bitter way to end it, obviously losing to the Red Sox. Just a lifeless effort until the ninth inning when they got everybody excited and we thought maybe we were going to be watching one of those epic comebacks, epic games that they had so many times last year in the postseason. Just did not happen.
Yeah, it actually felt like it was damn close. Kimbrel was having a hard time finding the strike zone, and it was similar story in the sense that these guys just couldn't get things done with runners in scoring position. I mean, Kimbrel was basically helping them out. He was driving that rally in the last inning, and yeah. and they couldn't take advantage of anything. I mean, they were practically serving it up on a silver platter. And, you know, fittingly so, how the season has gone the entire year right. With them not hitting in runners in scoring position, not taking advantage of opportunities. Literally, Boston and Craig Kimbrel is giving you the game right now, cannot do anything about it.
Just
season over.
One hit. Just get one damn friggin' hit. Doesn't need to be a home run. Just get a single there. Either Gary Sanchez or Gleyber Torres or Giancarlo Stanton, not going to forget about Mr. Strikeout Stanton, gets a friggin' single and is a new ball game, new series. That's the story. Like you said, yeah, they get their sac flies, they get their three-run home runs, but it's those singles that seem to have evaded them all season.
And even, you know, the last at-bat by Sanchez, like, you could tell he was locked in, and, I mean, he barely missed that ball. Like, that ball was, you know, a hair away from being a moon ball.
Grand
you know,
slam.
Walk off. Yeah, it was a three-run shot or a grand slam, or whatever it was that when he was up, and it would have been ridiculous. But he just missed it. But again, he's going for the big shot. He was going for the home run. You could tell he was swinging out of his shoes. But that's I guess today's game.
So just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the entire game stuff is that so obviously you guys are listening to this is the game four post-game episode. Our next episode will be recorded sometime on Sunday, be released on Monday, and that will be our regular schedule, right? Throughout the winter is every Monday, yep. Weekly episodes. We do not stop doing episodes in the winter. Got a lot of exciting stuff planned for the offseason, including talking about everything going on with the Yankees. It was a busy offseason last year. I expect it to be a busy offseason this year.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're talking about offseason schedules right now. This is freaking
way
depressing.
Too damn early. Last year it happened 2 weeks later than it happened this year. But since you guys are not going to be going to any more playoff baseball games, maybe you want to go to some football games, some hockey games, some basketball games. The best way to do that is to go to SeatGeek. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated. With hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability, it is hard to know who to trust. That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. They pull millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I use SeatGeek. I've used SeatGeek a number of times. I use them to go to one of these Yankees playoff games. You guys should check out the app as well. It is good because they get fully guarantee all of their tickets, so you can buy with confidence. They rate the tickets, they color code them, so you know if you're getting a good deal. Make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code Bronx today, and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Again, promo code Bronx at checkout gets you $20 off your first purchase.
Well, Radit, let me tell you better. Let me tell you about my how I need to get some rest currently right now. How does a great night's sleep improve my performance? Well, I can tell you one thing: it gives me more energy. It lessens the fog in my brain, puts me in a better damn mood, makes me more productive. And the new Sleep Number 360 bed helps everyone from parents to pro athletes, except for the New York Yankees, improve their daily performance through proven quality sleep. My wife and I both have our own settings so that we can have the mattress the way we want it. We both get great night's sleep occasionally when our son doesn't wake us up five times in the middle of the night and the Yankees don't put us to sleep at midnight, maybe one in the morning during the playoffs. So sometimes couples disagree on the firmness of your mattress. Sleep Number lets you choose it. That's why we have that. It's perfect for both of us. It's ideal for both of us. The new beds are very smart. They sense every move automatically and adjust to you, keeping you comfortably sleeping throughout the night. Come in during the fall sale and save $100 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 smart bed, now only $899. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, which is the new sport that we're all going to be watching. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/Bronx to find the one nearest you.
So I just saw a note from Tyler. He posted in our chat that the Red Sox are playing New York, New York in their celebration in the Yankees clubhouse. We had to watch them celebrate the division title a couple weeks back, and now we got to watch them celebrate the ALDS title, rubbing it in our faces.
Yeah, I guess that backfired a little bit, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know a bunch of them, when we saw like if what they had said about it, and when they were asked about it by reporters about the judge playing that song, they're like, you know, they kind of shrugged it off. Well, it's pretty clear that they used it as internal motivation and it pissed them off. So.
Yeah, I'd say so, considering they
came out in like a freaking bat out of hell and just, you know, kept scoring runs. And of course, you know what? Like the most fitting end is Eduardo Nunez to Steve fucking Pierce.
What they came into Yankee Stadium, outscored him 20-4. Was that the final tally in these last two games? I know today was close, but the debacle in game three. I thought still the Yankees were going to be able to squeak out one of these games because they have been so good at home. Everything was setting up for them nicely coming off that huge win in game two. They came home and just took a steaming dump right in the middle of the Bronx. Just a terrible way to end the season. And tonight, where you had the crowd still fired up, because I was there game three, and then once the fourth inning happened, the crowd's out of it. I mean, it's 10-0, whatever. Tonight, the crowd came out with more energy than it seemed like the Yankees did, and that I have a problem with.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to judge. The crowd definitely came out, and you could tell that in particular moments, like, they were trying to rally the team, it seemed like. It seemed like they were really, you know, fighting hard and really trying to bring the energy. So I give everybody at that stadium a ton of credit. Tyler, who has been working with us this season doing all the back end stuff, was there sitting in left field, and he was talking just about how the energy was. It was really good. It was loud. And you could tell that place was rocking in the ninth inning right there, and it was getting to Kimbrel, and it was affecting him. It absolutely was affecting him. There's no doubt about it. And the Yankees just couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, and the offense, we're going to get to Boone and everything with the bullpen in a second, but the offense was so flat against Porcello. They were so flat against Nathan Eovaldi. And it really highlights the fact that this team, when they are not getting free passes on the bases and they're not walking, and some of those, they didn't hit any home runs tonight, but they're not getting those two-run, three-run home runs, the offense just struggles to make things happen. They were aggressive against Porcello early. What did he have, 14 pitches in the first two innings? Their game plan was clearly to come out and attack him. I'm okay with that because Porcello throws a lot of strikes. If that's their game plan, fine. You got to get some hits, though, because if you're just tapping the ball down to third base to shortstop, weak fly balls, and that's it, 1-2-3 pitch at bats, it's demoralizing. It's demoralizing to the rest of the team. It's demoralizing to the pitching staff. It's demoralizing to the crowd. It's horrible. It was a horrible game to watch for the first eight innings.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time Rick Porcello has dominated this team either. Same with Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, these two guys have both had success against the Yankees. And for whatever reason, it's basically when you have a pitcher that comes against the Yankees, this particular lineup and this particular roster setup, a heavy ball down in the zone is like it's kryptonite. They can't hit it. They can't do anything with it. Can't the launch angle, you know, game plan with the way that these guys are swinging, whether it's you know, boom or bust, strikeout or, you know, something deep, it doesn't work. You know, when someone is locating a heavy ball down in the zone like that, and And that's we've seen them struggle all year long with pitchers like that. And you know, if this roster, if the lineup doesn't get better, you know, facing guys like that, facing pitchers like this, you know, it's going to expect it to continue next year.
Yeah. And what happened was Aaron Judge, who was on fire all postseason, he was the one that was giving them consistent at bats every single time. Mm-hmm. He hit 14 times with the bases empty in this series.
Yep.
It's a problem. It's a problem because he's the guy that's going to be driving in the runs, especially when he's locked in like that. And if he's just up there hitting solo bombs, which he did on two different occasions in Fenway, it's tough to score a lot of runs that way. It's tough to score a lot of runs when you can't get those hits with runners in scoring position. How many times did we say that this season? Over, yeah. Under a million.
Yeah, no, it was a lot. There's a lot of times you said that for sure. And, you know, fittingly, in the very last game of the season against the Boston Red Sox at freaking home, they were given the game. They really were. They were really given this, the opportunity to walk this off, to steal back the momentum once again. And you know, finish this game at home and win the game and then take the series to a game five after Sale had already pitched, which would have been you know, put them in a tough position.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a ballsy move by Cora.
It absolutely,
he was managing like there was no tomorrow, even though he had a tomorrow. Meanwhile, Boone was managing like he had all of the tomorrows, even though there was no tomorrow. It was,
yeah,
a very odd management the last two nights for Aaron Boone. We talked about him leaving Severino back out there for the fourth in game three, using Lance Lynn in a weird spot. I mean, I think it's inexcusable, but at least he can say, well, I had a game four to plan for. What's his excuse tonight for leaving Sabathia in after he hits Benintendi to lead off an inning? And you've got Steve Pierce, who absolutely murders you, JD Martinez, who might win the MVP, Xander Bogaerts, who is probably their third best right-handed hitter, and then I don't even remember who's up after him, but those are all right-handed hitters facing Sabathia. That's not putting yourself in the best chance to win, especially when, if you lose, your season's over, and you have Dellin Betances, who didn't pitch the day before, and David Robertson, who didn't pitch the day before. Both of those guys look pretty damn good today. I would have liked to see him pitch when it was only a 1-0 game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we haven't seen David Robertson come in that fire extinguisher role. You know, every one of these guys could have come in and done something. I mean, even Betances with runners on scoring, runners on base. We saw that in the wild card game, and it worked out. So he obviously has no problem doing that. Why he didn't do it, why he left CC in for as long as he did, I can't even get mad about it anymore. It's like, because everything's over, it doesn't even matter. But it's just baffling. I'm sitting here watching this happen. Like, clearly, it doesn't, like, any signs of weakness from CC, any sign of weakness, he should have been out. Any sign. You should have had someone ready to go at the beginning of every inning. Like, just,
yeah,
have someone there.
In the first inning, have somebody warming up. And I know, like, a lot of people were saying, oh, he didn't give up a lot of hard hit contact. Yeah, the first two innings, he did not give up a lot of hard hit contact. But then once you got to that third inning, you saw the Red Sox starting to have better at bats, better swings. Fine, you let him face JD Martinez, which I think was a mistake anyway. Martinez hits a missile out to center field that scores a sac fly. There's a hard hit contact. And then he gives up the double to Kinsler over the head of Brett Gardner, and he still leaves him out there to face Nunez. How?
I have no idea. I legitimately thought after that, like, once he actually allowed him to pitch, that there was a possibility that he might come out for the fourth.
I think people would have torn those nets around the infield down and stormed the field.
Yeah. But that's where our head was with him basically in the past 2 days. Like, there is a chance that he might bring CC back out. I don't know why he finished that inning. I don't know why he was allowed to face JD Martinez. To me, that made absolutely no sense. It's a horrible matchup. Horrible matchup. And then, you know, the dagger, then Kinsler hits a freaking double and he's still out there. I don't know. I got nothing to say. I have nothing to tell you because it doesn't make any sense. Because if we're looking back, both things. Okay, look, you're saying he's an analytics guy. I'm saying he's a fucking eye test guy. Well, the analytics don't work there, and the eye test certainly doesn't work there. So I don't know what the hell he's doing.
I listened to his post-game press conference, and he said that they had lined it up so he could get through Jackie Bradley Jr., which he did after he gave up the three runs. But they were just trying to get him through Bradley Jr., and then that was going to be his last batter no matter what. So,
see, I can't
again
stand
again trying to be cute.
Pre-made game plans.
Trying
yeah.
to be cute in a game that you cannot lose.
Why are we talking about a pre-made game plan? Oh, well, the plan was to get him to Jackie Bradley Jr. in that inning. Well, there's hitters up before him that do damage when there's runners on scoring position in scoring position when your man's not pitching well. What are you doing? That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand that logic. I don't understand that explanation. That's not an explanation to me.
Nope. And meanwhile, Britton gave up two home runs in this playoffs, both at Yankee Stadium. I understand the one today was a cheap right field Yankee Stadium short porch home run, but Britton maybe had a handful of games since the Yankees traded for him where he actually looked like Zach Britton. The rest of the time, he was a pretty average reliever.
Yeah, I mean, he was certainly not the guy that we expected him to be. And there's still voicemails coming in. He was not the guy that we wanted to. And then obviously that home run was just another insurance run that, you know, the Yankees did not need another run tacked on. They needed to shut him down. They needed to shut that team down after CC was out. Like, that had to be it. There was a line drawn in the sand at that point.
So you take CC out after three innings, and you're still facing a lineup that's stacked with right-handed hitters. Why are you bringing in Zach Britton?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why are you not immediately going to... Why is Betances not the first guy out of the bullpen?
Or David Robertson. One of the two of them.
One of the two.
The way he looked. The way he looked. The way David Robertson looked tonight. I mean, he looked really good. And he was giving me flashbacks of you know, the outings he had last year when he was going multiple innings. And no, I don't know. I don't know why we're doing this lefty-righty matchup when they're predominantly a right-handed batting team, and you bring in Britton to give up that home run to Vasquez. Not good.
So I know it's only four games, but Stanton looked really ugly in these four games against the Red Sox. So many guys left on base, so many strikeouts in big spots. I mean, he gets one hit in either game one or game four, and this is a completely different series. We're talking about the Yankees either being tied in this series or potentially even winning this series. It's going to be a long kind of offseason for Stanton, because the narrative now is going to be, this is A-Rod 2.0. Stanton can't perform in the playoffs. He can't handle New York. He's paid all this money. We got 10 more years of him. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I already know the articles that are going to be written.
Yeah. Well, they've already started to be written. To me, it's early for that to even start that narrative. It's the first time he's been in the playoffs with the Yankees and here, and we're seeing him for the first time. He's seeing his first dose of postseason action. We've seen guys struggle, in the past, and then, you get one or two big hits and all of that is forgotten. So I'm not at a point where I'm worried by any means about Giancarlo Stanton, his performances in the playoffs long term. It's not something I'm looking at. No. I got to see more. I need more of a sample size.
Yeah, he's gonna get the chance.
But he was bad. There's no doubt about it. Like, he should.
Oh,
not
that ninth inning at bat. I mean, it was Kimbrough was trying to walk him, and he wouldn't take the walk. Just swinging at those sliders in the dirt, trying to be the hero. Which I understand that temptation. I mean, he hits a three-run home run there and ties the game. It's completely that defines his Yankees career almost with one swing. So I get the temptation there. But you saw Judge have a patient at-bat. You saw Didi have a good at-bat. You saw then was it Stanton who struck out? Voit had a patient at-bat. Sanchez had a deep at-bat. Like, Stanton's the only one that goes up there and tries to do – just has no plan. No plan of attack against him.
You know, he and Judge, I mean, they really do have to – we talked about this when we first got Stanton about, maybe the two of them can, talk – and work on swings together, and because they're similar body style, and we know now that their swings are very, 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 very different. But the times that we saw Stanton going really well was when he was using the whole field, when he was going to the right side, and when you're looking at him, swinging over top that slider outside the zone, any breaking stuff away, similar to what we had seen Gary Sanchez, and similar to what we had seen Aaron Judge do, in the first half of that season he came up in 16. The guy needs to learn how to use right side of the field in Yankee Stadium and wherever else, because when he is doing that, when he's not trying to crush the ball and pull the ball and, only one swing, he's so much better. He really is. And he found a groove for a while there where he was hitting the ball to right field. And, you know, I think that's one of his big focuses. If he can start going, you know, more consistently going to right side, you know, we're going to see more consistent at-bats and not such a streaky guy.
So the season ended last year after game 7 of the ALCS, and it obviously sucked to be so close to a World Series, especially since they were up in that series. But man, was it positive around the Yankees, even after they lost that series. Everyone was just so excited for the future of this team, and there's still a great future for this team. But this is the opposite of positive way to end a season. I know the only positive is to really just win the championship, because other than that, everyone loses. But last year almost felt like the next best thing. This does not feel like the next best thing.
No, it does not feel like the next best thing. You know, and you know, mixed in with all these expectations that we had from last year, and then, you know, not performing to. I shouldn't say not performing to the expectations, because they won a lot of games. They won 100 games this year. You know, I think. Hold on.
It doesn't matter.
No. What I'm saying is, it's different because of the AL East. So they did not get to the plan where they wanted to be and winning the AL East. That's the big deal. They ended up, the wins didn't matter at the end of the day. Is my point, is that they ended up in the same spot. They ended up in the wild card, and you know, everybody thought this team had a significant chance, a very good, solid chance to win this division. And that's where the bar was set. That's where our eyes were. And the fact that they didn't win it, the fact, you know, even if they won 100 games, it doesn't line up with what our expectations are, because it's not a division championship. Right. And the way that it felt in the second half certainly didn't feel like a 100 win team. So, you know, there's all those expectations mixed into last year, you know, with last year's performance. New manager, Stanton coming over. Just, maybe there was too much change in 1 year. I don't know.
And the invincibility that the Yankees kind of gained last year in the playoffs, and even through the first wildcard game this year at home, kind of goes away now. You lost 2 games at home to the Red Sox in the playoffs in terrible fashion. You get your doors blown off in one of them. And you lose a heartbreaker 1 in game 4. I mean, that we said one of the keys to the season coming in was win home field, because you're unbeatable at home in the playoffs. That's what this park is tailor-made to this team, and it still is. But did they hit a home run in these last 2 days? They didn't.
You know, the other problem, though, is when you're at home like this and – You're facing teams that can also hit the ball out of the ballpark and can take advantage of the same things that you have taken advantage of all year. And you know, the stadium, when your pitching is just abysmal and doesn't go past the third or fourth inning. I mean, this is becoming a problem. This is, to me, like, this trend in baseball is really pissing me off. And it's pissing me off that it's become an excuse now, too. I was thinking about this earlier today, and it was grinding my freaking gears about it. You're looking around at the playoffs, and you're looking at these teams who are still in theirs. And you have guys who are going deep into the games. You have Houston throwing deep into the games. You have guys on the Dodgers going deep into the games. You have some of the Milwaukee guys. I know they're more of a bullpenning team, but you have starting pitchers who are going deep in the game. See, more than one starting pitcher on many of these teams that are still left. And yes, it's a trend in baseball with this bullpenning, and starters are only going 5. They're being more cushy with the starters. But goddamn, if you want to have success and you want to have success in the postseason, you better damn well have at least 2 guys who can come out there and give you, you know, 6-7 innings in the playoffs. You need those guys, because if you don't have them and you're relying on a dominant bullpen, but you don't have those starters who can go, you know, have any depth, your bullpen's going to get overused and exposed. But
not even necessarily what happened. It's not like the bullpen got exposed this series. It was the Yankee starters were terrible, and they couldn't hit the Red Sox pitching for the most part.
Well, it starts with the starters. Absolutely, it starts with the starters. Yes, the bullpen was, you know, picked them up afterwards. There were definitely some problems with the bullpen too, but we're only in, you know, game 4 of the ALDS. You want to continue to go and win a 7-game series in the championship series and then a World Series, and you're right, expecting to do that with pitchers that are going 3 and 4 innings? It's not happening. And this goes back to my argument about bullpenning not being sustainable. It's not sustainable to have starting pitchers that go 3 to 4 innings either. because it ruins your bullpen. It's the same premise.
Yeah.
It's a bullshit trend, and I'm serious. I hate it. And they need to go, and we need to get some pitchers who have some balls and can throw 6 and 7 innings. And you know what? Shift the game plan. Shift the mindset. You know, when we're in spring training, when we're talking about all this stuff, there's no more 5-inning pitchers. Like, that's not an acceptable outcome. Change the mindset.
Yeah, I think part of it is, though, that they just played
bad baseball.
They just played to what they had, and they didn't have 6-plus inning pitchers. They had 1-inning relievers. So that's what they played for. That's what they played to. And
and that's why this pitching staff can get a major overhaul
this
offseason.
You could see, in theory, how it would work in the playoffs, but other things need to go right as well, and they didn't. They didn't get good managing. They didn't get timely hitting. They got sloppy play all season. It honestly was not a very fun second half.
No, it wasn't. It was frustrating. It was a frustrating second half because you're looking at a team that is, and this goes back to what we saw last year. Last year was from beginning to end, a blast. It was a fun season. Everything was over expectations. You're like house money. And that's always fun to do because, you know, losing doesn't really come into your mind as like a bad thing at that point, because it's not going to be a major, major disappointment. You kind of expected it not to go deep, at least. And so then when you're exceeding those expectations and you're going deeper into the playoffs, it's all fun and games. But now these guys are supposed to perform and they're not. And we all just get pissed off and we all get frustrated watching them. And yeah, it's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, very leaves a bad taste in your mouth to end the season this way, especially so close to coming back. And you could have seen, like you said, if the Yankees could have come back against Kimbrel there, well, then shit, Cora looks stupid having used his number one pitcher. Who's going to start game 5 for them? Kimbrel can't close out a game. It was so close to going wrong for the Red Sox, and instead he played to win. He was ballsy, and it worked out for him.
Yeah. It did. I mean, the Yankees took care of that. You know,
they helped him out. Yeah.
They didn't really do much to finish that game off. The Yankees finished that game off for them.
Yeah, they finished themselves.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And that was the only inning they had. That was the only inning that you actually felt like they were going to do something.
And you look back to game one, wasted opportunities. That's a game that the Red Sox were lucky to win, in my opinion. The Yankees could have stolen it, but it still did not change my outlook on the series, because they just needed to get one in Fenway, and they did in game two. They come out, lay an egg in game three. That's the one we're going to look back to, because there was a whole bunch of stuff. There's something going on there with that Severino. Did he not warm up on time? Was he tipping pitches? Like, there was something there. I know we kind of downplayed it on the podcast after last night's episode. I really have a hard time believing that he flat out didn't know when the game was starting, but something happened. Either I don't know what it is. There was some
bad
sort of
Indian
mix
food.
Up. It's a bad Indian food. Some sort of mix up where someone directed, like, didn't have his jock strap like dry cleaned in time. There's some reason why he was warming up 8 minutes before the game, because the fact of the matter is, that's not normal. I don't know what the reason is. I think we're going to find out eventually. Probably going to be in a week or two. Who knows? It'll leak out somehow.
I don't know. We didn't find out about Judge's injury for a solid, what, year?
No, what do you mean
a while?
Year? What are you talking about?
No, like the actual reason why he was hurt. Not this, the last year. It took a long time to come out.
The shoulder injury?
Yeah.
What was the injury? What was the issue?
It was the wall. They were talking about it. They were talking about it.
That was bullshit. That happened in April.
Look, that was part of it. That was absolutely
part of it. He was hitting .340 at the All-Star break. So he hurt his shoulder in April and was fine until the All-Star break, and then did the home run derby.
There was still a lot of haziness around it. Whatever. Right. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me right now. I don't even know why I'm freaking arguing that.
Right.
The point is that if there is something, then yeah, it'll leak out at some point. But I would expect them to keep it tight for a while.
We'll find out.
I personally don't think there's anything. I think it was Ron Darling. You know, he's sitting there back, you know, with his legs up, drinking a scotch, laughing at all the Yankee fans for putting this conspiracy theory in their heads. That's what I think. But, you know, I don't know. Everybody else is saying it wasn't. Everybody in the Yankees organization is saying it was nothing.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. As I said, our next episode will be out Monday morning, and we'll be on a regular Monday schedule from there. We are not done by any means, not done, but I just want to send a shout out to all the listeners. It was a fun season interacting with you guys. We did 6 events at the stadium this year. That was awesome to see everybody come out, meet a ton of new listeners. The Facebook group has grown a lot. We were doing those post-game recaps on Twitter. A lot of people liked those. So as far as the podcast goes and our interaction with the listeners, that was probably my favorite part of this season.
Yeah, the events were great. They really were. It was a lot of fun, and I think there's something really special starting to brew there with everything that we're doing with these events and meeting up in real life. It's fun to interact, you know, on social media and such like that, but it's way better to put, you know, actual faces and shake some hands and like meet people in real life and just to have, you know, fun conversations about the Yankees. And honestly, there have been so many people that you know, we've had like just long conversations about other things, about family and life and like whatever, just a bunch of people hanging out over a mutual passion. So that has been, you know, to me, one of the highlights of this, you know, everything we've done, honestly, with Bronx Pinstripes too. But we are going to be doing another spring training trip, and we will be looking at that to see when the date is. We should be able to put that out relatively, hopefully, in the next few weeks. We'll take a look at that. Andrew and I will check our schedules and make sure everything lines up, and then check with Tampa and see when that lines up, and we will put that out. And then also keep an eye out for next season's events, because we are I'm already talking with the Yankees, and we're lining up the events for that too. So we're going to get those out super early and going to do a season pass this year that will have the, you know, the Bronx Pinstripes events included on a season pass for all of the games. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to next year. You know, this team has a ton of hope. There's no doubt about it. They're a talented bunch, and World Series or bust again next year, right?
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out, or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
This was a demoralizing loss. I mean, it could have been a 2-1 game regardless. The Yankees weren't hitting, but what the fuck is going on? I mean, Boone bringing in fucking Lance Lynn with the bases loaded, that right there was a big mistake. He's not the guy to put that fire out. Chad Green should have came in. They should have had a quicker hook on Severino. The guy did not fucking have it.
You don't even have a funny voicemail? Like, leave a voicemail. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show. I couldn't call last night because, unfortunately, I live with 2 little kids, and I can't yell and wake them up because Gus is getting big. They're walking up. It's not like my opinion matter. I'm punching pillows. I can't even scream. So now I'm driving to work, and now I get to finally call. What the fuck? Boone, you idiot! They sink through sugar! Who cares when he comes out and pitches? He knew when the game was. This isn't Allen Iverson. This ain't practice. This is playoffs! There's no excuse! He's not a number one. He's young as shit. He could be, but he's not a number one. We don't have a number one. Because we don't go out and get Gerrit Cole. And we don't trade for DeGrom. Unbelievable. Poor Sammy. I love Sammy. I like Sammy. He's okay. But he didn't have it. You're lucky it's 3-0. And then you let him come out for the 4th? Why? Why would you do that? There's no reason. They took David Price out, and it was a close game. You're just not a good manager, Boone. You blow bubbles, good bubbles. You hit that fucking home run in 2004. But that's it, dude. So then you put Lance in with facing loaded. Are you shitting me?
put in fucking Austin Romine then. It's the same fucking thing. And then Nathan Eovaldi! Take the Cy Young Award and call it the Nathan Eovaldi Award! What the hell? He was on the Yankees! They let him go! Nathan fucking Eovaldi! Are you shitting me? I never want to face him again. Give me fucking Sale! I'd rather pitch hit against Sale than Nathan fucking Eovaldi! This game was winnable! The first game was winnable. Yes, it was nice to beat up on Price, and I love that picture of him looking like an idiot. But now it doesn't matter. None of that matters. Because now we're the idiots. We are the idiots. We are idiots. That was an embarrassment of a game. That was the fucking single most embarrassing game I've ever watched. And I'm over here biting my pillow. God, you guys should charge because I feel so much better. You should literally, I would pay $1 a minute just to be able to call and leave a voicemail. A Yankee fan might hear it and might sympathize with me.
Angel Hernandez is the home plate umpire tonight. And CeCe is on the mound. If there's anything that's ever been must-watch baseball, this is it. Who's had more drama with umpires in the history of Major League Baseball than CeCe versus Angel? It'll be a story. Something's going to happen. And the first time somebody is upset about a ball or strike called, somebody's going to get tossed. And I really hope it's Boone, because Angel Hernandez is the joke of Major League Baseball, trying to sue them, everything that he did. And every call that got reversed last night, worst umpire in baseball, and I hope the first time he misses a K-zone strike when CC's pitching, something happens. Look forward to it.
You hear this shit, baby? I'm at the stadium and CC's walking.
New York, continue!
Yo, here we go, Yankees. Heading into the eighth inning, down 3 runs. This is either going to be a game we regret for the rest of our fucking lives, or this is going to be a Yankeeography moment. Who's going to be the Bucky Dent? Who's going to be the Tino Martinez, the Derek Jeter, the Scott Brosius? Who on this team is going to establish themselves as that first pillar of the next Yankees dynasty? They're either going to do it in the next 2 innings, or this is going to be another goddamn year we are embarrassed about, and the Astros better fucking kick these Red Sox ass.
Damn, fellas. Fucking terrible. Fucking terrible. 20-2 on our home field. It's just crazy. Fucking insane.
Good season, Yankees. Good fucking season. Shame it has to end this way. But good fucking season.
3 words, cut Giancarlo Stanton. That bum doesn't deserve to be anywhere near Yankee Stadium ever again in his career. What an absolute waste.
Tough loss tonight. Stanton with the chance to be a Yankee hero, and he blew it! If this is year two of a several year rebuilding, then I'm okay with it, but they really got to do something about it next year. We cannot, I just cannot deal with Boston being that much better than us. It's just, there's just something wrong, and it just sort of ties in with the rest of just the horribleness that is life at this moment. I know that seems to be by hyperbole, but that's how I feel at almost midnight on a weeknight, and I got to get up in 6 hours. See you in April, boys.
Man, oh man. That is not the team I watched in Boston. It's like they came back here and someone paid them off to play like fucking garbage. Every last one of them except Judge. I'm like speechless right now. I can't even collect my thoughts. I don't even know what to say. When you're fighting with a chick, you don't even, it just leaves you speechless. I'm gonna have to leave another voicemail. and I'm stuck with the Jets for the rest of the year. Thanks a lot.
I don't even know what to say. I guess the only thing I really have to say is let's go Houston.
What a fucking embarrassment this series was. The pitching was awful. The batting, we had a few good moments, but overall just couldn't produce any fucking runs. I swear to God, this offseason is going to be more painful than last year, and we better not sign Machado or anyone else, no position players, unless it's just to fill a little gap as a backup. We need starting pitching. We're too old. We got a bunch of guys that can't get the job done. None of our starters went 5 innings. Tanaka, yes, he got the job done. That's what I like to see, but my fucking God, we're not going to win the World Series with this pitching staff. Never. We don't have a shot. Well, I guess here's to the rest of the night. Going to finish the rest of my beer here. And go Yankees.
I don't even know if you guys are taking voicemails right now. This is what death feels like. Honestly, if they had just laid down and died the way that they have all season, and that ended like a 4-1 game with Kimbrel getting the save with his stupid fucking arm hang bullshit, and they struck out 3 times in the ninth, I mean, we probably, you know, we'd be in the same place, but to come back like that and to be so fucking close, and you know what, I've been on Boone's side all season. I've been on Stanton's side all season. Boone, first of all, for last night, that's fireable. And I know people are so quick to be like, oh, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy. What he did last night, the whole Severino thing, the pitching decisions, last night was fireable. That's worse than Girardi's no challenge last year. And Stanton, I can't tell you how many at-bats he came up with running the scoring position. He doesn't have to hit a home run. He doesn't have to hit a fucking home run, but to look as lost as he looks like the kid that you stick out in right field in T-ball because his mom wants him to play sports so she can socialize with the other moms, and the kid's got his finger up his nose. That's what he looks like at the plate.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.